the Father, and like that just does something inside of me when I hear that, and when people release that, and it just brings life into my spirit. And it was like, oh, give me more of that. And so when he messaged me and said that he was going to be in town, I was like, come, please. Like, it just, and he's actually wrote a book, and I'm sure he's going to share all that. And maybe you can just share how you connected with Steve, because I honestly don't even know. But I know that he gave you a place, and so we want to honor that as well, and just honor you and welcome you, and we receive you and the gift that God has in you.
Amen.
And just release what God has given you for this house. We give you the freedom to move and flow and function in all. Wow, come on.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, thank you,
yeah,
thank you, thank
there's,
you.
There's new new levels, new depths, and things that you are going to function and flow in when you move. You are just going to continue to release the river everywhere that you go.
Wow, you,
life
you,
to the dead places.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So
amen.
We receive that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise in here. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I am back in Freeport at Eastgate Christian Community Center. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, happy Father's Day, first of all, to everyone who's here. And as many of you know, again, my name is Shelton Clerk, and before I go into how me and Pastor Steve met, and I'm going to tell you, it was you guys who got me in trouble with him initially. And I explained it as we go. But he was such, he has such a heart for you. And it was his heart for you that actually, you know, caused us to gravitate toward each other. And again, I explained that. But before I get started, I'd like to go ahead and just let you make everyone aware of the product that I have out here. I've written my first book on divine healing. The name of the book is How to Administer Divine Healing, Walking in Divine Health. So I took two subjects, one that actually trains the body of Christ of how to lay hands on the sick, how to release the power of God into people's lives, and then at the same time, how you yourself can walk in divine health for yourself. And so it is a must-have for you guys who are into missions work, into ministry, or if you're just a believer who, you know, who wants to get involved in the work of the kingdom of God. This thing is stirring people up. And this is my desire. My desire is to get the body, and always has been, is to get the body of Christ mobile, you know, to let us know that we're just not people who just come to church and sit down and hear a good teaching or message and then go home. But God wants to use you to do the work of the ministry. He wants to use you to bring his love, his compassion to the world. Amen? Amen. So this book is written out of that kind of heart. Again, it's a training tool. And if you read it, I tell you, it's some stuff in here that will really help you. Another thing in here that I would like to share is it teaches you how to receive in prayer. You know, oftentimes we don't understand how to receive in prayer. So because we don't understand how to receive in prayer, we constantly ask God for the same things, and year after year go by, and we never see the product, the thing that we ask for. And it begins to warp our thinking about God. And, you know, and sometimes some of us question his love. And we say, you know, well, Lord, if you love me, you would have done A, B, C, or D. And so we want to steer away from that by letting you see results. Because the truth of the matter is, the reason why we haven't received things in prayer, it has nothing to do with God at all. Okay? And so I go over some very powerful principles in the Word that helps you to receive from God. And so the editor, when she was editing the book, you guys, she was an old, good old Baptist lady. Everybody say good old Baptist. And she had her PhD or ED in education or whatever. And so when she was editing the book, she sent me a text. She said, man, I've never known any of this stuff. And she was like, this is amazing. She got stirred up about healing. And so she had been having some kind of carpal tunnel syndrome in a wrist or whatever. And she said, well, I'm going to try this stuff. And she laid hands on herself according to, she was following the instructions in the book. And she laid hands on herself and she spoke healing. And how about she got completely fired up because all the pain in her wrist went away. And she said that she hadn't had it from that day that she prayed until this one. So she is pumped up. Then she goes to church. Now, every time she sees somebody sick, you know what she want to do? She want to lay hands on the sick. And that's the kind of fire that we want to bring back into the body of Christ, where we have a desire, a passion to minister the love of God to those who are sick and hurting. Amen? Amen. So I bought these books. I think it's probably about 40 back there. It's not many that I bought. So get your copy of this book, and I'm telling you, it's definitely going to bless you. Okay, and this morning I'm actually going to be teaching from one of the subjects in this book entitled Operating in Your Divine Nature. So that's what we're going to be teaching about. But before I get started, Nikki wanted to know how me and Pastor met. And I'm going to tell you guys. So when I was in Freeport back in, I don't know, it's every bit of 10 years ago, if not longer. But I'll say probably around 2004, 2003, 2004, somewhere around there. I was going to Faith for Miracle with Bishop Wade, and so we would have church. We would have church on Sundays, of course, and then we have Bible study in Savannah on Wednesday, and then we would have Bible study again at our church on Thursdays. So this one particular Wednesday, we were not going to church. We didn't go to Savannah. So I thought to myself, I'm going to go check out some churches. And so I remember driving, I think it's Park. You guys used to be located on Park, right? So I remember, just to see how long ago this has been. So I remember I drove over, and I looked at the church, and I always saw the church because it said something about evangelical or something like that, free. And I thought to myself, what in the world is that? And so I said, okay, well, I'm just going to go over there. I'm just going to go, So I'm driving by, and I whip the car on in there. And when I get in there, you guys, you were at it. I'm telling you, you were praying, you were worshiping. And I said, okay, well, cool. So I just sat on down, because I hadn't heard, the pastor speak anything. And, Pastor Steve, he was up. He got up after worship. And he began to talk to you. And he said, in that particular day, I remember very vividly that there was a lady, she had a concern about the youth. And, Pastor was asking questions or whatever. You guys were asking questions, rather, and Pastor would answer the questions. And this one particular lady, she had a deep concern. She was like, well, I don't know what's going on with the youth today. And, it moved her to tears. And so, I had just taught a message about what was happening with the youth today. So I thought, man, I got the answer to what's ailing her, And so I leaned over and asked someone who was behind me. I said, so how does this work? I said, how does it work? She said, well, just lift your hand and Pastor will acknowledge you. And once he acknowledges you, she said, then you can say what you need to say. I was like, okay, cool. Sounds simple enough. So I raised my hand, and Pastor was up. He was still talking. He was answering questions. And so my hand was still up, and after a while, you guys, other people started raising their hand. So I noticed that he kept calling on the other people who was raising their hands, and seemingly he was ignoring me. So I was like, well, okay, so what do I do now? Do I keep my hand up, or what do I do? So finally, I put my hand down, and then he continued to ask questions. So I said, I'm going to try it one more time. So I raised my hand again. And finally, Pastor said, he said, brother, I don't mean any harm. He said, but the reason why I'm not calling on you is because, he said, I don't know you. And he said, I don't know what you want to say or whatever. He said, but if you would, he said, if you have anything to say, can you just come to me after service? And he said, and you can just tell me what you need to say. Now, some people would have got offended. But the way he delivered the message, you don't get offended at this. Because you understand what he's doing. He's a pastor. He's never seen you. You've come in out of the street. And his care was for you. So this is one of the things that I came to love about him, that he was one of many true pastors. I mean a true pastor whose heart was solely for you. Okay, and so finally, you know, I didn't go anywhere. Of course, I sat down, and he said, okay, well, he said, I want to anoint everybody that's here tonight. And so he said, I want you just to form a line, and you guys got in line. Everybody got in line. Well, I thought to myself, well, hey, I said, I'm here tonight. I want to be anointed too. So I got in line, and as I was coming up, he was anointing, and he would say, bless you or whatever. And as he got to me, he anointed me. Then he pulled me close. He said, hey, brother. He said, what is it that you wanted to say? And then I said, well, pastor, I said, the lady was concerned about the youth. And I said, and God just told me that this was going on with the youth. And I shared real briefly what was happening with the youth. And he pulled me to the side. And then he said, you guys, this man was sent from God. And he gave me free course that day to expound to everyone who was there what was on my heart. And so after that day, I continued to come to the church. You guys saw me constantly, you know, and I would continue to come. He and I, we stayed in fellowship with each other. And do you know that this guy just opened his heart completely to me? I mean, to the degree, he told me, when you're at this church, he said, feel free to say what you want to say, to do what you want to do. He said, I trust you. Man, that's your pastor. Come on, you guys. Come on, let's just celebrate him today. God, glory to God. Just thank God for a true man of God that we were blessed with. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So, Nikki, the answer to your question, that is how we met. Amen. Glory to God. Well, today, I want to go ahead and we're going to talk about how to operate in your divine nature. So go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And we're going to look at Second Peter 2. Chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1. And I like to honor Pastor Steve's wife, Pastor Lene, today. God bless you. It was good to see you. And I am constantly praying for not only you but the entire church. You know, and I just want you to know that God's hand is still on this ministry. And the vision that God had given Pastor, you know, that vision is inside of each of you, and you're going to see the fruit of the things that he would have saw. So just continue to press. I want to encourage you to continue to press into those things. You already know he was a mission-minded man. I mean, his heart was for missions. He always wanted to touch the city, touch the nation, wherever he went. You know, his heart was always for people. So we want that same thing stirred in us continually. And I think when we do that, that'll be the way that we will honor him, you know, and his legacy here. And then not only that, but it also will be, like Nikki said, a source of healing for all, okay? Amen. All right, so we're going to go here. Since it's Father's Day, I thought that this would probably be a fitting subject to teach from, talking about operating in your divine nature. Many people don't know much about the divine nature that we have, but the divine nature that we have is the nature of God, okay? And so we're going to talk about that divine nature and what it means to operate in it and what it means or the results that you and I will have as a result of operating in that nature. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory for your goodness, your grace, your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for your power and your spirit here in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray, Father, that as we teach today, that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding, cause us to see and perceive things that we have not seen or perceived before. I pray that the grace of God would be in here to eradicate any and everything that's not like you in the name of Jesus. Father, where there is heaviness, Father, I thank you, Lord, that heaviness goes now in Jesus' name. Where there's depression, I thank you that depression goes now in Jesus' name. Where there's confusion, Lord, I thank you that confusion goes now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now that your spirit is upon every person in this place and that you're causing things to work in their favor and for their good. So I release a supernatural grace to receive this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go here. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that has obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. First of all, I want you to see that the Word of God, us having the Word of God, is how one of the ways that God will multiply unto you his grace and peace. Sometimes we want to have peace in our life and we want to walk in peace, the peace of God, and we're searching for this peace, we're praying about this peace, but one of the things that God wants you to see is that it's the Word of God, your ability to know the Word of God, that will allow grace, which is God's ability, his favor, to be multiplied in your life. And not only will grace be multiplied in your life, but the Bible says that through the Word, God's peace will be multiplied in your life. Lift your hands and say, Lord. Say, Lord, let your peace be multiplied in my life. Okay, so what you're saying here is that as you begin to get in the Word of God, that God's grace, his favor, his kindness, his benefits, all his graciousness, all of that is going to be multiplied. And not only will grace be multiplied in your life, but the Bible declares that peace will also be multiplied in your life. Okay, so it says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If you have your Bible, I want you to underline the words all things. We have been given all things. I don't know, there's someone in here, I feel a knee, your right knee, you've been having issues with your right knee. Is that person, is that you? Just stand up right there. Stand up right there. Yeah, I feel that. In Jesus' name, I speak to that right knee, and I command every bit of the pain to go. There it goes, right there. Just lift your knee. Lift that knee. I command every portion of that knee to be healed, to be whole. Lift it again. How does it feel? Feel good? No pain? Lift it one more time. Put it down. Now come and walk toward me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you come back. Glory to God. Now, how does that feel? It's less. Almost gone. Lifted one more time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how does that feel? See a little there? That's fine. In Jesus' name, pain, go! In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. It's gone, you guys, for sure. It's gone for sure. And the thing is, thank you so much. And the thing is that when God gives you a word of knowledge like that while you're teaching, or just in general when he gives a word of knowledge, because he wants to deal with that right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how I know it's gone. Okay? All right, now check this out. So in verse 3, he says, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And everybody say, I have all things. See, the thing that we need to understand about this is that we're going to God as if we are deficient, as if he's not a good father and he has not provided all things for us. But God, what God is telling you today is that I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. This will change your life because it will change the way that you approach God. Sometimes we go to God as if that we don't have the things, you know, that he has not given us these things, and we have to beg him or plead with him, or some of us, we make vows with him, and, you know, and the truth of the matter is he's a good dad. He's such a good dad that he has already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. One scripture says that because he's given us his son, Jesus Christ, how shall he with him withhold anything? In other words, he's given us the best that he has in his son. Why would he withhold anything else from you? Come on, there's nothing that he has that's more valuable than the life of Jesus. And he freely gave you Jesus as a gift, so everything else has to be yours too. So the Bible says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness again, but how do they come? Come on, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? By these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So how do we get to partake in this divine nature? The way that we get to partake in the divine nature is through the Word of God. These great and precious promises that we have in the Word allows us to partake of God's divine nature. Now, what's important about knowing about this divine nature is that the divine nature is a nature that has no sickness and no disease in it. There's no sickness in God, right? There's no disease in God, right? Come on, so this is the kind of a revelation that we have to walk in, because the Bible says that as he is, so are you in this world. Okay, so, but how do we get to partake into this? How do we get to partake of this divine nature? Because it's not an automatic thing. The Bible says that through these great and precious promises. It's the promises of the Word of God that allows us to tap into divine nature. Now, we know a lot about the natural nature, right? You know, we know that, you know, before we were born again, bless God, that if somebody slapped us, we were going to slap them back. We know that, don't we? If somebody cussed us out, not cursed us, cussed us out, we was going to cuss them back out, right? Come on, look at y'all. Y'all don't want to admit it. It's okay. It's all right. we know a lot about the natural nature, okay? But we know very little about this divine nature. But this divine nature that you now have because you're in Christ is the nature that actually comes directly from God. And so let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to show you guys something that's pretty awesome. Genesis chapter 1. Where it talks about the divine nature of God. Genesis 1, verse 26, you there? Now, if you back in the book of Revelation looking for Genesis, see me after church. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay? So let's look at this. Let's discover this divine nature, because, you know, God's our what? He's our dad, right? Okay, so if he's your dad, then it means that you should have some part of him. And this is what Genesis 1:26 revealed, that same nature and characteristic that we discover about God, we discover that same thing is inside of us. All right? But we haven't known much about it. And if we don't know about it, then guess what? We're never going to walk in it. If we don't know about it, we're never going to activate it. Come on, you guys. We'll just have something that we don't even benefit from. And that's not what we need. We need to know about this divine nature so that we can walk in everything that God is, okay? Now watch this. So Genesis 1, verse 26, it says here, "And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness." Underline the words, "our image and in our likeness." Then it says, "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over everything that creeps upon the earth." And then verse 27, it says, "So God did what? He created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So when we talk about having God's divine nature, it's not just limited to man, the male version of man, okay? It's for everybody, male and female, both have the divine nature of God, all right? So having said that, what is the first attribute of God's nature that we see in Genesis? Genesis reveals something about God, you guys, and if we can get the if we can understand what Genesis reveals about the image and likeness of God, then guess what? In verse 26, you were created in that same image, in that same likeness. So one of the first things that Genesis revealed about God, well, you'll see. Let's find out real fast. Genesis 1, and let's look at verse 3. You there? Verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." And the rest of the verse says what? Come on, talk back to me. "And that was what?" So we see that God said, "Let there be light." And there was what? All right, now look at verse 6. What's the first three words in verse 6? Ready, set, read. Okay, now look down at verse 7, the last four words of verse 7, "and it was," come on, verse 9, the first three words, "and God," the last four words of verse 9, "and it was," verse 11, the first three words, "and God," the last four words of verse 11, "and it was," how about verse 14, first three words, "and God," the last four words of verse 15, "and it was." Okay, how about verse 20? It says, "And God said," and then the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words of verse 21, "And God saw that it was good." And then how about verse 24? The first three words, "And God," the last four words of verse 24, "And it was." So then God turns around. Now listen, you guys. What we see here is that whatever God says, it is. This is the first likeness and image of God that Genesis revealed about God, the nature of God. Whatever God speaks, he has what he says. You see that? Whatever he says, he has it. He turns around in Genesis in number 126 and he says, "I'm going to create man in my image and in my likeness." That means that you have the same ability that God to be able to speak something and have what you say. You've been created to be a speaking spirit just like God, to have exactly what you say. Genesis 2 verse 7. Genesis 2 verse 7. Glory to God. Genesis 2, verse 7. Okay, this is when God created man. He created the spirit of man. Now we see him creating in chapter 2, verse 7, the body. Okay, it says here in verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man did what? He became a living soul." This word "living soul" here is the Hebrew translation, which means another speaking spirit. In other words, the Bible is validating the fact that if God is a speaking spirit and you've been created in his likeness and image, then that means that you are another speaking spirit. You were designed to have the things that you say. We have to get that revelation, you guys, because that is very real. That's a real place. That's the identity of your Heavenly Father on you. When you are speaking and having what you say, you are operating just like your daddy. You are manifesting who he is in the earth. Proverbs 18, real quick. Proverbs 18, let me continue to validate this. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. And I hear you, Lord. And what I hear God saying is that some of our situations can be changed if we change what we're beginning to say. Some of our situations will actually turn if we open our mouth and begin to say the right things. All right, now watch this. And what I like about Genesis, before I go over here to Proverbs 18:20, what I like about Genesis is when God stepped out and the Bible said that what he saw, it wasn't good. It says that the earth was void, empty. It was dark. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. But check this out, you guys. God didn't start saying the things he saw. He said what he desired. He didn't say he looked out and said, "Ooh, it sure is dark out here. Oh, it's empty and void and, ooh, it's a mess." That's not what it said. It said God did say what the predicament was. This is the predicament. But when he opened his mouth, the Bible says, "And God said, let there be light. Light be." And I'm telling you, I don't care what dark situations that you're in your life. I don't care what is going on in your life. If you will open your mouth and begin to speak life into that thing, begin to release life in it, you will see the change. You will see the change. The change you've been looking for is in your mouth. Glory to God. It's in your mouth. It's in your mouth. Now watch this. So it says here in Proverbs 18, verse 20. Look at this. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be what? Shall he be filled? Now look at 21. It says, death and life are in the what? The power of the tongue. Now stop right there, because most of the time when people quote this verse, they normally misquote it by saying the power of death and life are in the tongue. But that's not how the scriptures write it. The scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible is strategic with where it places words, because God wants us to see something from these adjectives and things wherever he places the word. They're very strategic. So this word power here is a very interesting Hebrew word, you guys. The word power here is the word that translates into the hand of the mouth. Death and life are in the hand of the mouth. In other words, the way it operates is if I want something in my life, right? Then let's say I wanted to reach out, I wanted this book. Then my mind sends signals to my hand for my hand to extend to bring the book to me. You got it? All right, so what God is saying is that the words that are in your mouth, they serve like a hand. Whatever you release those words to get that thing, whatever it is going to end up in your life. Whether it be things that facilitate death or whether there be things that facilitate life. And so what most of us do, or some of us have done, is we begin to speak and release the things that facilitate death. So we say things like, "I'm sick. I'm never going to get well. I can't get over this." You see that? And when the more we say that, then the way we've been created is to have what we say. That hand retrieves the things you want. But check this out. Just like it can retrieve things that facilitate death, it can get things that will facilitate life in you. Let the weak say, "I am." Then all of a sudden, strength start appearing. How'd it get there? That hand. You getting this? Let the weak say, "I am strong." Don't say you're weak. Say, "I'm strong." Come on. Let the poor say, "I am what?" I can barely get along. I ain't got enough money to do nothing with. I can't rub two nickels together. You know? Really. The thing is that the way we've been created, the way our divine nature works, is that God has placed this ability within every one of us. And we have to just learn the proper way of how to operate in it. Death and life is in the hand of the mouth. Now, here's the thing that I like about this verse. Notice the person that's in charge of that hand is not the doctor. Glory to God. It's not your neighbor. It's not your enemy. The person that is in charge of that hand in your mouth is you. Nobody can release that hand but you. Nobody can cause things to come into your life but you. It's when you open your mouth and you begin to say whatever's been said about you that you get that thing in your life. And I love that. I love the fact that God doesn't put this authority in anybody's hands or lap but mine. So you can hear the negative report, whatever it may be. You can hear the negative report, but when you hear the negative report, you have the ability to release faith-filled words that will cause your situation to turn from negative to positive. Is this making sense? All right, now watch this. Let me show you some more. So death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Okay, so let's go real quick over to Mark 11. Now, I want you to hear this because this is not the blabbit grabbit gospel being resurged. No. This is not say it until you believe it. No, this is you saying what you believe. When God stepped out in Genesis, he wasn't saying, let there be light, trying to convince himself that one day light would come. No, he declared what was already inside of him, and it was so. Paul put it this way. Paul said, we have spoken because we believe. And no, he said, how to say, we speak because we believe we have spoken. Forget it. But anyways, Paul's point was, is that we're not just saying things to be saying it, we're saying it because we believe them. And this is how you begin to produce fruit. You don't constantly say, you know, I'm rich. Until you try to convince yourself. No, it's through the meditating of the word of God that you see the will of God in your life. And you be in that revelation that you begin to have inside of you. That's what you proclaim. You get it? You get the difference? You're speaking what you believe in your heart. So let's go here in chapter 11 and verse 26. Mark 11, verse 20. As a matter of fact, start at verse, for sake of time, I'll just go over the story. So in verse 12, what you see is Jesus coming to, he was hungry, and as he was drawing near, he saw a fig tree that was, you know, that seemingly had fruit on it. But there was no fruit. The Bible says, for the time of the fig was not yet. And the Bible says that Jesus answered and said to the fig tree. Now, I really like the way that the Bible termed it. It said that Jesus answered. As if the fig tree was talking to him. I wonder how many situations are talking to you and you're just letting them just talk. And you're not giving any answer to the situation. Jesus wanted figs. He was hungry, the Bible said. He wanted a fig from that tree, but the Bible said that there was absolutely no fig on the tree. So in other words, in essence, what the tree was saying to Jesus, I know you want a fig, but guess what? You're not getting any figs from me. Na 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 na. You're not getting any figs. Yeah, it was talking to Jesus. That's what I'm saying. The Bible said that Jesus answered the fig tree. Now, y'all thought I was crazy. Jesus is talking to the fig tree. Okay? Now watch this. He speaks to the fig tree, and this is what he said. He didn't cuss the fig tree. He didn't use any vulgarity, profanity, no. He cursed it. The word curse means an empowerment to fail. Blessing is an empowerment to prosper or excel. So Jesus said to the fig tree, no man will eat fruit from you from this day forever. That's how he cursed it. And check this out. When he spoke those words, he walked away, and the Bible says, and the disciples heard him. Now watch this. The next day, verse 22 or 21, and we'll pick it up there. Verse 21. Okay, it says, verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Do you hear that? Jesus said to that fig tree the day before, no man will eat fruit hereafter forever. And the Bible says that on the next day, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. Now, here's my point. If the curse has the ability, when Jesus spoke the curse on this fig tree, and it had the ability to cause results immediately, so much so that the fig tree didn't lose one or two leaves, you guys. The Bible says that from the root, this thing was dried up. So if the curse has that ability to do that coming out of a person's mouth, how much more does the blessing? How much more will the blessing work in your life if you begin to open your mouth and begin to bless your life, begin to bless your neighbors? Come on, you guys. Begin to bless your situations. I wonder how many things would turn around instead of flourishing, decaying and being withered. I wonder how many things will begin to flourish in our life if we just open our mouth and instead of cursing, empowering things to fail, begin to speak the blessing, empowering things to prosper. You know, the Jewish people as a whole, they were trained in this. They spoke blessings, and they still do. I don't know some of the stuff that they say in Hebrew, but I do know that it's always a blessing. They proclaim a blessing over and over, sometimes multiple times in a day. When they meet each other, it's always a blessing that they put on you. I wonder if we begin to change the things that are coming out of our lives, what kind of results we'll begin to see. You guys getting this? All right. This is the nature of your Father inside of you. Give me 5 minutes and I'm actually done. Well, I'll be quitting. Never done. I'll be quitting. All right, so look at here in verse 21. It says, and Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And here was Jesus' answer, response to Peter. He said, and Jesus answering unto them, because I guess all of them had the same thing going on in their mind, he said, have faith in God. The word faith here is the Greek word, which means assurance, strong belief. It means to be persuaded, okay? Persuaded, strong belief, to be assured, okay? And so what Jesus was relaying to them, it's your confidence that you have. So that means that when Jesus spoke that word to the fig tree, he was confident that heaven backed him up. I wonder how many times that we speak that we are confident that heaven would back us up. Come on, you guys. When you really know the heart of your dad, that he loves you, then you'll start to gain more and more confidence when you open your mouth because you're his son. And this is what Jesus was manifested to show us. He is a human who has the Spirit of God on the inside of him the same way that we do. And he came to show us how to operate or function in that divine nature. Okay? I'm going to end with this story. Do you guys remember when Jesus was on that boat? I don't know, y'all say, which time? He was on the ship, and this one particular time, he was asleep. The Bible says he was asleep. And all of a sudden there arose this great storm, the Bible says, you remember? And the disciples started freaking out. I wonder how many of us would have been like the disciples. Oh, whoa! You know, just, woo, Jesus. You know, we calling the Lord and he sleep. So finally, the Bible says that they go down into the hinder part of the ship, back of the ship, and they wake him up. Probably went a little something like this. Jesus! And they probably got to shaking Jesus. Jesus probably like, what? What's going on? And they woke him up and they said, Jesus, carest not that we perish? The Bible says this about your Lord and Savior. Jesus, he's our example, right? Says this about him. It says that when he got up, he didn't look and say, woo, boy, this storm is about to take us out. Did he say that? No, he didn't. Right? He didn't freak out either. Come on, you guys. This is where we press to. This is our example. This is who we're supposed to model. Jesus is showing you and me the potential that we have in him. The Bible says that he released the hand of his mouth. Said that he opened his mouth, and the Bible says he spoke to the waves and the wind, and he said, peace, be still. And the Bible says that there was a great calm. Watch this. So much and so that the disciples said, what manner of God is this? Is that what they said? No. They said, what manner of man is this? That even the waves and the oceans, the wind and the sea, rather, obey him. This is the ability, part of the ability that we have from the promises of God and operating in what the Bible deems as our divine nature. You guys, we have that. We have that. I don't want you guys to think, you know, that it's just as simple as that. There is an element to this, and those of you, it's in this book, if you want it. And it's explained very heavily. But the thing that makes this work, and if you read Joshua 1:8, and if you read Psalm 1, it's called meditation. It's the meditating on the promises of God, not meditating on the law. Don't get the Ten Commandments and start meditating on that. That's not going to produce any power in your life. It's the meditating on the promises of God, the promises from the new covenant. Things like, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. See that promise? When you meditate on those promises, things like, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father. See, when you meditate on those type of promises, you tap into your divine nature. In other words, you begin to operate just like God. And you see those kind of results. Same results that Jesus saw will be the same results that you'll begin to see. Amen? Glory to God. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory just for the word that you've given us. Father, it's not a new word, but I thank you that there's insight into this word that will cause us to operate like you. Father, our lives and situations can totally be changed if we would change the words out of our mouth. Father, I pray that the prophetic grace, the prophetic ability, the ability to speak from your heart will begin to just grow in us even more. Cause us to know our ability in you. Let us know that we're significant, that we don't have to just settle for anything in our lives, but that you have equipped us with the ability to change things in the earth. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these your people. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will begin to bless this house, bless this ministry, bless your people. Begin to provide a leadership that's needed, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will bring visionaries here, bring apostles and prophets and pastors to speak life continually here. Sustain them, Lord. I ask you to watch over your flock in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus that by this time, Father, in the next 5 months, Father, that this church will be freely functional, that it will be moving in the name of Jesus in a capacity in which it's never moved before. Lord, I thank you that they're experiencing your presence like they've never experienced your presence before. Father, I pray that hearts will become alive in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that even that feeling of being lost, Father, I thank you, Lord, that they're not lost. They are the found in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they are the blessed in you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your heart resonates here in the name of Jesus. Father, I bless these your people. And as a church, Father, I lift them up out of the pit in the name of Jesus. I lift them up out of the pit. It's like you guys have been stuck and just not, and wheels are just constantly turning, but no progression. And today, in the name of Jesus, as an apostle, I lift this ministry up out of the pit in the name of Jesus. And I say that your wheels are put on dry ground in Jesus' name, and that there will be progression in the name of Jesus, and that you will cover more ground than you ever thought that you would cover in the name of Jesus. I thank you for strategies. I thank you, Lord, for unity. I thank you for people coming together in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your hand being in this house in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.